Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the question. Now that I see that the election is over, people are back to sending us questions. I think people were preoccupied, so we have some questions in our mailbox, and we want to keep our mailbox full because then we have an opportunity to address a lot of issues.
We have our first question from Anonymous.
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 Isn't that some sort of like dissident political group?
I have an autoimmune condition and concerned about vaccinations in general, including the COVID vaccine, which will be mandatory, question mark, by my healthcare employer.
Oh.
Is there a way to get clearance from this? Would it be sufficient
for
a doctor or other medical professional to provide me with a statement saying this is contraindicated due to an autoimmune condition?
This is a very good question. And so we're ending up talking a lot about vaccines, but I think this is the top of people's concerns.
Yeah.
Is vaccines all enhance immunity for them to work? They contain adjuvants, some of which are not such happy adjuvants, like aluminum. Squalene from sharks. The sharks are disappearing rapidly, so we can make hundreds of millions of vaccines. So these
irritate the immune system.
They irritate the immune system.
Yeah.
So that may not be so good. That may be good if you have an inactive immune system, but if you have a hyperactive immune system, like an autoimmune disease, you have to be careful.
Or
certain genes that make you more susceptible to those effects. We'll have to see how that pans out. This is a different kind of vaccine. We don't have that much experience with RNA vaccines. It's a novel way to administer vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this will do a backdoor approach where it won't do that. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, this is going to be an issue, is that people who have certain health problems and vulnerabilities who are mandated to get the vaccine, will they get an exemption because of their health condition?
Let's explain why somebody with any autoimmune condition would have a problem with the vaccine. It may overstimulate them because of the adjuvant and then cause their autoimmune condition to, reawaken out of remission or be exacerbated.
I might hesitate, for example, in someone with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
You know, which is where what's at risk is the brain.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe not. You know, this has to be studied. This has to be studied.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody with rheumatoid arthritis, that could be,
So here's another concern I have. Mm. This is another concern that's been brought up. It's theoretical. It's not really been demonstrated. But some vaccines are somewhat effective against a disease. But if you take the vaccine after you've had the disease, it can actually hyper-react your immune system. Or, say, for example, you have an example of which would be someone who has had COVID-19 but is worried about waning immunity, then they take the vaccine again. That could actually hyper-react their immune system. Mm. Or, if they were exposed a second time to COVID-19, maybe they could get a hyper-reaction to the COVID-19 and a worse case of COVID-19.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That's actually been demonstrated with some things like a Zika vaccine.
And
also with there was a Limerix vaccine, a vaccine that was not
that's successful against Lyme disease. So, mm-hmm. you know, these are some unknowns.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, okay. so here's the thing. We don't know how long immunity to COVID-19, natural immunity, lasts.
Yeah.
But if you've had COVID-19, say you had it in March,
mm-hmm.
and then the vaccine becomes available again in March of 2021,
mm-hmm.
well, should you take the vaccine? Well, maybe you get your antibodies tested. Your antibodies show all of a sudden, they've waned. So you should take the vaccine again. Then you get re-exposed to COVID-19. That's a scenario that's a little unclear what that would do.
Interesting.
Yeah. So okay. it's okay. those, you know, I don't know if in this first set of people, I don't know if they tested for that possibility. Pretty sure
not. Okay. All right. I think now might be a good time for
a break.
Yes.
At which point we will mm-hmm. allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with our listeners.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Youthful Energy, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause. Age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. You know what the rest of what I'm going to say is. We rely on our sponsors, and we'd love you to support them.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And now back to our questions.
We have a question, another COVID question, from Karen. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, in mid-October...
Oh, Karen is a bad name to have now.
What's that?
Karen is a bad name to have now.
Oh, no, it's not. I love the name Karen.
Okay.
Okay. In mid-October, a PCR test showed that I was positive for COVID-19. This is mid-October. I had a sore throat and ear pain, probably referral pain from aphthous ulcers in my mouth or in my gums for about 2 weeks, but no other symptoms. Then 4 weeks after my positive PCR test,
uh-oh.
I got an antibody test. It came back negative. I'm so confused.
What?
I'm not sure if the PCR test was a false positive.
Wow.
If the antibodies test was a false negative.
What?
Or if I had too mild a case to produce antibodies that would show up.
What?
What say you? What? Karen, what a great question.
What a great question.
Wow.
What, you really should be the subject of a complete immunological case study.
Yeah.
Because this is paradoxical, and it speaks to either an anomaly in your immune system, whereby mm-hmm. you're not forming antibodies, which would be kind of a new wrinkle on COVID-19. People mm-hmm. who don't form antibodies and theoretically would be vulnerable to reinfection.
Yep.
Or the inaccuracy of the testing, which is also quite plausible.
Yes.
You know, what was the name of the celebrity, I don't follow these celebrities, but what the celebrity posted on Twitter a couple of days ago that she got tested for COVID-19. She was positive in her left nostril and negative in her right nostril.
Elon Musk had the same problem.
Right, multiple tests that had conflicting
results.
And I
think they were PCR tests.
Right.
Which are not 100%.
Which are, the problem is they do such a good job of amplifying viral material that they're not commensurate with infection. They may be commensurate with the presence of infinitesimal amounts of viral material.
Dead RNA.
Dead, in effect, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It doesn't distinguish between an actual live infection. And so, you know,
yeah.
it could have been a false positive and mm-hmm. followed by no immunological response. I think that would be the most logical explanation for this. A false positive, mm-hmm. Because pretty much everybody has at least a temporary immunological response with antibodies.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's the best explanation.
I mean, the PCR test in and of itself is not proof positive, for pun intended, right? So, exactly. Karen, what an interesting case. So, there is no definitive.
Yep.
Test is there.
And it kind of points out, you know, first they were saying, ventilators, we need more ventilators. And it was like, you know, let's ease up on the ventilators because ventilators, you know, for some people are counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have enough ventilators. Okay. Then it was like testing. We get to test. Here's the problem, as I see it, is that testing, if it's inaccurate, can create a lot of, I mean, it's good because it's like it identifies the people who are infectious and then they can isolate and, you know, we keep away from them and it stops the virus in its track. Yeah. But if it's inaccurate, you know, what a hassle. You get a false positive test. You have to notify everybody who you've been in contact with. They freak out.
They need to be traced.
They need to be traced. They need to sometimes be quarantined. Where you work or where you live or you know, that upcoming Thanksgiving party, done.
Yeah.
You've got a quarantine. You know,
right.
There's some negative ramifications to extensive overtesting, especially when you test people who aren't sick, because according to Bayes' theorem, the probability of a false positive goes up astronomically the less likely you are to have something. Now, if you feel sick and you're coming down with something, and you better do the responsible thing.
Absolutely,
and
go get tested.
Even
yes.
if you think it's like a cold or like a mild malaise,
go get tested.
Get tested.
Right.
Because that might be the harbinger of the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And then you want to not expose other people inordinately to that.
I get an email, just informational email from State Senator Liz Krueger.
Oh.
And one of the sentences in her update, and it's all COVID, coronavirus update, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you tested negative today doesn't mean you won't test positive tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what is the answer to that? Why would you say something like that? What are we supposed to do with that?
A fear monger.
Yeah.
Just because you tested negative today
doesn't mean... So test.
She's a state senator or she's a
I'm not sure.
congressman?
I think she's a congresswoman. I'm sorry. She might be congresswoman. Liz Krueger.
I don't even know what she is.
Yeah. You
know, I don't even know my congresspeople because...
I think Upper East Side or something.
Yeah. But I heard something on the radio about that. I said, like, why are you sowing such a degree of panic and uncertainty?
Yeah.
What is
to gain from that?
I don't know. I think it's like a power trip by these politicians or something. I don't know. Just to like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like Cuomo, $330
million. Yeah.
He's speaking on behalf of the United States of America.
Right.
Don't you know, right?
He's not even president yet.
No. Oh, woe the day. Okay, yes, I said that on podcast. All right. I have another question. We have another question about COVID, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm going to look up Liz Krueger.
Yeah. This is from Eric. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. It is clear... that doctors...
She's a New York State Senate.
New York State Senate. Yeah, I thought it was Senate. No, I wasn't sure because I don't look at her thing. I just go and read all the... Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
She's at risk.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. This is from Eric. It is clear that Dr. Zelenko's protocol for COVID-19 works when administered in the first 5 days of being positive for the virus.
I don't know Dr. Zelenko's protocol.
I've heard Dr. Zelenko on... America's Voice,
watching programs
and things like that. He's a doctor in upstate New York.
Okay.
And he's had very good impact with his patient
it's
population
a conventional doctor.
Up there. He's a conventional doctor. And he uses hydroxychloroquine, among other things. Doesn't it border on criminality when the authorities do not allow doctors and their patients to have access to hydroxychloroquine?
Yep.
How many more people have to die?
Well, here's the thing about hydroxychloroquine.
This is Eric from Finland.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's such a hot button issue. It's become political because Trump endorsed hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
And the thing about hydroxychloroquine is that I think in a few select circumstances, when used early enough, it can help. And there are actually studies that show that.
Yeah.
But there seems to be this really relentless effort to, you know, make fun of it and discredit it. And in fact, in hospitalized patients, it doesn't do much good.
It's already too late maybe at that point.
Yeah. So, which is a characteristic of certain aggressive antiviral drugs. Like, for example, for the flu, Tamiflu doesn't really work unless you administer it at the very, very beginning of your symptoms.
Yeah.
And, you know, after 24, 48 hours, it's of no value at all for the flu, influenza. So
you'd be better off with Sambucol.
Yeah. And
elderberry.
You know, so I think, you know, we'll come up with better therapies. I think it's one of those stopgap things that might help people.
Yeah.
I've helped patients get hydroxychloroquine early.
Yes.
Early in the and they seem to have liked it. They responded well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wish that it weren't so politicized.
Yes.
Now,
true that.
Look, the other thing.
Medicine has no place being politicized. We're talking about people's lives.
Yeah. Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, we sometimes improvise. We use imperfect tools. You know, any workman knows that, you know, sometimes, you know, if you don't have a perfect tool, you know, you use a quarter to, you know, twist a screw.
Right.
You know, you get the job done. And I think hydroxychloroquine is a little bit like that. It's got a little bit of an anti-inflammatory effect, which may be salutary in this condition. It's a zinc ionophore, which helps bring zinc into the cell.
Yeah. And that's why that cocktail coupled with zinc and I forget the third thing.
Zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C,
yeah.
You know, quercetin. These are some of the, but, you know, you know, I commend doctors for their ingenuity. I think they've had a very steep learning curve here. I talked to a doctor who, you know, it was a wedding, it was a socially distanced wedding, and talked to a doctor who was on the front lines, a young doctor, he's like, you know, 35, 40. And he just said it was horrible because they didn't know what to do, and most of the patients died. And he said now they really made progress in understanding when to administer certain medications that they didn't
know
about.
That's great news.
Yeah, and not even necessarily some of these big ticket items, you know, like remdesivir and the monoclonal antibodies. And they just keep coming up with wonderful innovations. I got to say, you know, as much as I disparage conventional medicine, I really commend them for their ability to respond to this pandemic.
Yeah.
What I don't like about conventional medicine is sometimes when they exclude, you know, natural therapy side by side.
When they poo-poo it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
But, you know, and I asked him, I said, did you give vitamin D and zinc to those patients? He said, yeah. He said, that was on formulary. He said, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, we did everything we could, you know, doing that. So, but some patients
terrific.
Were too high risk, you know, patients very obese, very sick, very elderly. They just didn't have the reserves to get through it. You know, have you ever had a really high fever?
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you have a high fever is you almost feel like, oh, my heart's going so fast. I really feel like I've run a lap or something. And, you know, when you're in good physical condition, you can do that because it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is like, you
it's
know,
fever.
When I go running, you know, 3 miles. But for someone who has no cardiovascular reserve, that demand can put you over the edge into heart failure or into an fatal arrhythmia, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I remember having high fevers as a child and having hallucinations.
Yeah, it's scary, you know.
Yeah, but... Yeah, for an adult who's at risk, that would be a whole different story, certainly. Wow.
So, you know, I thank you, Eric, for, you know,
your
interest in Dr. Zelenko's protocol.
Well, these are all the questions for today, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay, well, that's fine. So what we'll do is we will invite people to send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And, you know, we hope for a more hopeful turn of events for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a very quiet Thanksgiving because I think people are going to keep their gatherings to relative minimum.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, they say that this is like a fire through dry brush. You know, hopefully we'll, you know, the fire will expend its fury. On a few unfortunates who are vulnerable and, you know, leave the rest of us spared. And that we'll see rapid advent of, you know, some definitive therapies and vaccinations.
Yeah,
I really am hopeful because...
Cheers to that.
I have tickets for Billy Joel.
That got postponed and postponed.
Well,
and
I bought them in January 2019. The Billy Joel concert was for May. Of course, that got blown away.
Okay.
And then they rescheduled it for November 13th.
Oh, okay.
And of course, it couldn't happen November. So I called up and I was very anxious. I said, "What happened to my, you know, what happened to my tickets?" And they said, "Well, you can't get a refund because they've rescheduled the concert." I said, "Oh, okay. When?" January 14th.
Oh my.
2022.
Oh wow.
Not 2021.
Nope.
Because you can't expect people to cram into Madison Square Garden no. in a couple of months.
Oh,
but in 14 months, who knows? Mm-hmm. It may be a different world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So let's...
We shall see.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, everybody.
I may be right, I may be wrong, but I'm just, you know, according to the song by Billy Joel.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I just may be the fool that you're looking for. Blithely optimistic. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.